Hello, and welcome to the next edition of the Emma's Diary podcast. I'm Amy, and I'm a blogger over at Through Amy's Eyes. And if you've listened to the previous podcast, you'll know that I'm normally on here with my two mummy friends, Jenny and Sarah. But for today's episode, I have a little bit of a treat. I actually have my husband, John, with me. Say hello.
Hello.
And we are here today to talk all about how your relationship changes once you have a baby. Now, just to give you a little bit of an insight into our relationship and our history, we got together when we were 15. We were 15, weren't
It
we?
was.
Yeah, 15 years old. We were together for a couple of years at school, and then our lives just took us in different directions. We then found each other again when we were about 20 years old. We moved in together on my 21st birthday.
21st.
Yep, we did. We got engaged before we moved in, didn't we?
Did, yeah, only
Yeah,
just.
we got engaged a few months before we moved in with each other. Then we moved in. We were renting a property. Then we got married about three two years
2012.
after that. Yeah, 2012. And then we bought our house. And then I fell pregnant with our eldest. And our eldest is going to be 5 in September.
Literally worked 1 year after the
It
other.
did, yeah. We always had something going on. And then, what was that? So that was nearly 5 years ago. I fell pregnant with our eldest. And then 10 months ago, our littlest was born, wasn't he?
He
So
certainly
it's
was.
been a busy few years for us. And our relationship has definitely had its peaks and troughs, hasn't it? And I think it definitely changes when you've got children and in different stages in your life. We were briefly talking about this before we sat down to record this, weren't we? And we were saying that it's not necessarily a bad thing when it changes, it's just different.
Just yeah, and the decisions that we've had, like even buying the house, that changed our relationship as well
Yeah,
as
of
we
course
go
you do. You have
through.
different responsibilities, don't you? Your priorities change. I think that's what I said before, wasn't it? Your priorities change. And I mean, if we think back to, goodness, before I fell pregnant with our eldest, that was 6 years ago. I remember nights where we would go out, we would drink a ridiculous amount, we'd come home, stagger up the stairs, and we'd be able to lay in bed until midday the next day.
There's things we could also do together, like with your amateur dramatics. I helped out backstage, you would do the on stage side of things, and we could never, since obviously having our eldest, we've never been able to do that
No,
together.
yeah, and I mean maybe that's something that'll come when we get old, when we get older and the boys get older as well. I don't know, but yeah, it's just so different. I mean, we were able to be selfish, weren't we? That's the best way of putting it. We were able to only care about us. We didn't have to worry about these little people that needed us at all.
Absolutely.
So yeah, it has changed definitely. I mean, one of the big things that changes, and one of the things that a lot of people talk about, is sex after having a baby. And I think there's two parts to this. So you've got the whole part of you don't do it as often. I mean, I'm yet to find, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm yet to find a couple who say, yeah, I have more sex now I have children.
Never heard
And
it. Never
if they
ever.
did, how on earth do they do that? I want to
Yeah, especially with a little one laying in your bed as well, it makes it very hard.
Yeah. So yeah, there's that element of it, and I think time is a huge thing because you don't have time anymore. I mean, we get into bed of a night time, and we normally have about half an hour before we have one of the two children joining us in the bed. Normally the smallest one, because he doesn't really like sleeping on his own, he tends to be in our bed. But you get into bed and you're just exhausted.
Yeah, the days can be hard, or
Yeah.
trying, I should say.
Yeah, and I think you get into bed and you're just absolutely knackered, and all you want to do is sleep. The last thing you want to do is think about having to make an effort and have sex with your partner, and that sounds really awful. But in a way, sex does become a bit of an effort, doesn't it?
Yeah, finding the time
It
becomes an effort.
is. It's finding the time and finding the energy. It's not just the time, it's the energy as well. Because you get in bed and you're just so worn out. But on the flip side of that, I do think it's important to make the effort now and again.
Agreed.
I mean, I'm quite open in saying we have two children now. We don't have sex that often, you know. We were talking about this the other day, and I think we haven't had sex in the past month or so, and that's be thanks to the youngest been cutting three teeth, There's been a hospital visit in there. There's been a bout of tonsillitis in there.
Two hospital visits, one for each child.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's been a lot going on in the last month. So I would say sex has come down the bottom of our list of priorities. We get into bed and we're just too exhausted. Or we're thinking, right, which one's going to start crying first?
Yeah, I mean, we get into bed and that's probably the first time we really get to catch up. So we talk about our day instead of actually thinking about what we'd like to do.
Yeah, and I think sometimes as well, when you've had a day like that, I mean, I know the days where I have the boys on my own and you're at work, we get into bed and all I want is a cuddle. I just want a cuddle. You know, sometimes the days can be really hard, especially this week when our littlest has been teething. There was a couple of days that were really, really tough. And all I've wanted to do is just get in bed and have a cuddle. I haven't wanted the pressure of trying to be intimate. I've just literally wanted to cuddle. And that's been so nice to do without having to know that there's pressure of it leading to something more. But, as I was trying to say on the flip side, it is so important to make the effort every now and again. Even if it's not something you do very often, if it's not something that you have the desire to do very often, then it's still nice to make the effort and try. I'm not saying you should force yourself to have sex. That's not what I'm implying whatsoever.
Lay back and think of Britain.
No. But even if you just make the effort to be intimate with each other in other ways, like having a cuddle, like having a kiss. Because I think sometimes, I mean, I know, how many times a day do I kiss the boys? It must be 20 and probably more. But yeah. How many times do I kiss you a day? Twice?
Once in the morning when I go off to work.
Twice. I would give you a kiss. Bed. Exactly. Twice a day. But I think if you just make that effort to just even to give each other a couple more kisses, it makes a big difference to your relationship, doesn't it?
It does.
I mean, the other part that you think about as well is people that have just had a baby. Because once, as a woman, when you have a baby, your body changes, you know, your body goes through quite a trauma once you've given birth as well. And a big thing that people talk about is how you feel the first time you have sex after having a baby. And also, when's the right time to have sex after having a baby? So I think from a woman's point of view, actually no, I'm going to flip this to you. So as a man, so obviously the man goes through the birth in a very, very different way to how the woman goes through the birth.
Yeah, you don't see everything.
It's not just that, but you're not the one that's pushed a person out of your vagina. No. Ultimately, the woman has done that. Your penis is still intact, it's still fine, there's been no trauma to your penis.
No stitches.
Hopefully not, as long as you don't get kicked or punched by your other half while she's giving birth. But as a man, when would you say is the right time to have sex after having a baby?
I guess never really gave it much thought for both of ours, the first and even after the second. It was always you that made that first move, always gave you the space to do so. After seeing what you've gone through, I mean, a kick to the balls is quite painful and not something you think about sex afterwards for quite some time. So I always gave you the space and left it be something for you to show an interest in first.
Yeah, but then you run the risk of, I mean, I'm quite a confident person in regards to my body and the way that I feel, but then you run the risk if you do sit and wait of the woman feeling like, am I not attractive anymore? Does he not want me anymore? But it is a very fine line, because I understand what you're saying. You don't want to be pushy.
But that comes in a different way. I mean, especially those first 2 weeks when after the baby's been born and you're at home together, that show of affection is done in a different way.
It's making them food. It's,
yeah,
you know, while they're breastfeeding, it's going to make them a cup of tea. It's cutting up their food while they're trying to feed and things like that, isn't it?
Yeah, or going out to buy you in and bring home a new TV.
Yeah, that was with our youngest. I sent my husband out to get like a pacifier toy thing. It was like a white noise thing. We'd had one with our eldest. And yeah, he came home. Bear in mind, I'd been home from the hospital for one day and we had his family visiting. He come home with a big fat off TV in his hands. I think that was like your little after baby crisis type thing.
It was needed. 2 weeks at home, you need something decent to watch.
I think you were saying about this 2 week thing. I think it's also very important to remember that physically there might be limitations to what stops you from having sex after birth. You know, you've got the fact that it's not spoken about very much, but women bleed an awful lot after they've had a baby, and it differs for every single woman. And the last thing you want is to be having sex whilst they're still doing that part of it. That's exactly. Not nice at all.
And also, if you had a C-section, then there'd be a longer process because you've even got just a 6 week period before you can even things
drive
about
or anything like that. Yeah,
or I think hoovering.
It's not just that as well. Think about we have a friend on the previous podcast. Jenny was talking about how when she'd given birth, she had a lot of stitches. There was a lot of stitches going on. She had a very bad tear. So you've got to think about the healing process for that as well, and how a woman might not actually, they might feel very insecure about it down there now because it's changed. And actually talking about that, I remember with our first, I remember the first time we actually did do the deed after having him. I remember saying to you whilst it was happening, can you feel anything? Because I just had this like a terrible fear that my vagina was going to be like a big wizard sleeve and you weren't going to be able to feel anything. But I think sometimes the thought of doing it is worse than actually doing it. That's what I found anyway. I was always quite nervous. I wanted to, because I wanted to feel close to you again. I wanted that connection. But it was the fear of, is this going to hurt, you know?
I think it was just about really taking time. And I mean, I know we've spoken about it on other things we've done, but like communication between the two of us, making sure that that's there through that first time to
make sure
you know what your the limitations are for both parties.
I mean, it might not be the sexiest thing in the world saying, does this feel all right, is it okay? But it is the communication, and it is going to make you both feel a lot more confident that no one's hurt.
Next time.
Yeah, no one's hurting, no one's uncomfortable, that it is fine. And obviously, if you are doing it and someone says, this is uncomfortable, you can stop, and then nobody's going to get hurt, and you both know why this is happening. So yeah, I think it's a tough one to know when's the right time to have sex after having a baby, and I think it is down to each individual couple. I can't think how long we waited. I think it was only about 3 weeks.
3 weeks after the first.
It was probably a little bit longer with the second, wasn't it? Or was it shorter?
I think we was a little bit shorter on the second.
That's surprising.
I know that was a shock for me when you showed some interest.
But I think sometimes as well, the newborn days are easier than now.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
And that's really odd, but I think now our youngest is a lot more aware of what he can get away with and what he can't. And I think when he was a baby, like a really small baby, you knew you'd had like a couple of hours clear where he wasn't going to need a feed and he would just sleep. Now, you can't tell when he's going to wake up. You know, we're recording this and it's about 9 o'clock at night, and I'm constantly thinking to myself, he's going to wake up soon. He's going to wake up.
He should have woke up at 8:30 and he's missed it, he's
due
any seconds.
Yeah. So, it is hard to know when is the best time to have sex after having a baby, but I think that is down, as I said, to each individual couple, and there is no right time. If it takes you a few months, and it takes you a few months, you know, you can be intimate in other ways, like I've said, you know, have kisses, have cuddles on the sofa, you know, make each other a nice dinner. You can always do other things.
And you hear a lot of stories and people say they wait, you know, years and or a year or
years?
Months. Not years.
Blimey.
A long time. It might feel like years to people. But no, I mean, for us, I think it's something we've done a lot quicker than I ever thought we would do.
Yeah. And I don't really know why we did that. I think it was just something we wanted to do, wasn't it? I didn't feel any outside pressure. You didn't pressure me at all. You know, there was no outside pressure from society as such, me thinking, oh, I need to bounce back and be having sex straight away. It was a personal thing. And I think a lot of it does have to lie with the woman, definitely. Because, as I've just said, you know, the man is completely intact. He might be a little bit mentally scarred from watching that happen, but it's still, his parts are all fine. The woman's the one that's going to have the impact on their body as such. But yeah, it is a difficult one to know when's best to. But as I've said, it's, even now, 10 months down the line, we definitely have less sex now than we did, like, 6 months ago when he was a lot smaller.
Yeah, yeah. And in comparison even to our first, I think it's just because life gets busier from one to two. And as much as people say freeze as much as two, there's no way that we're going to go down.
Not now, anyway. But yeah, it is. That's one of the ways your relationship changes. And I think your relationship changes as well because, aside from the whole sex piece, you know, your conversations become rooted around something different. It's like I look back before we have kids and I think, what on earth did we talk about? And I think I actually said to you the other day, what did we do with our time? Like, what did we actually do?
When I was sitting there as we were coming back, obviously, today from being out, I was looking through pictures and we used to go out all of the time. I mean, Fort Park.
Yeah.
You know, we went days out to London.
Yeah.
We done multiple shows in a day. God yeah. knows where we used to get the money from.
We didn't have children to spend it on.
We couldn't afford it now, let alone even back then.
Yeah, we didn't have children to spend it on then, though,
but,
did
you know, we used to do a lot of our time and, you know, barbecues on the green, or when I yeah. say the green, the little bit in the car park that we had.
But you look back on it and you think, what did I do? Like, our weekends now, everything is always so busy. And even, I say busy, but it's not busy with doing stuff as such. So it's not like our eldest has loads of classes he goes to. He goes swimming and he goes to a phonics class. He doesn't do anything else other than that. So it's not like it's busy in going out. It's just life is busy. There's always somebody that wants a snack or needs their bum wiped or needs new clothes or needs something. I can't think of a time where someone doesn't need something from one of us. There's always a demand. And that's why we're busy. There's always a demand for us. And I think people talk a lot about women feeling touched out. Have you heard that phrase?
I haven't.
So people talk about women feeling touched out. And normally it's for breastfeeding mothers where, because they're constantly being like pulled out, especially as the baby gets older, you know, the baby's more aware of where the milk comes from. So they're constantly pulling
almost
at their boobs, touching them. Yeah. And they feel almost touched out. And that has quite a big impact on people's relationships because they don't want to have sex because they feel touched out. But I think you can also feel mentally touched out as well, because that's the way I feel a lot of the time. Because there are days where I'm with the two boys on my own all day long. We may not leave the house because it's chucking it down with rain or whatever. And the amount of times I hear the word mum in a day, yeah. or I hear, I mean, the baby can't say mum, but you hear that, because he wants something. The amount, it's draining on
normally
you.
Normally comes with a point as well.
And a point or a pull or something. But that's really mentally draining on you as well. And then when, I think, to have that going on, and then to have somebody come home and demand more from you in regards to intimacy or sex or whatever, you're just a bit like, no, just leave me alone now. I need a bit of time just to be me. Do you know what I mean? It's
yeah.
There is that part of it too. I mean, I know that sometimes you find it quite draining when you're with the boys and they are just constant.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the eldest is at that point now that he gets 4 going on 40 and just wants to argue every point. And our youngest is so very demanding and stubborn.
He's so different, isn't he? They're both such different children that with the eldest, he was relatively self-sufficient, wasn't he? Even as a baby, he wasn't very demanding. He wasn't very demanding physically, whereas our youngest is very much... He always wants to be holding you and touching you and be with you. Whereas our eldest, you could quite happily leave him and he'd be happy playing.
Yeah, like as I said, we was going through pictures earlier on and our eldest is quite happily sitting on the sofa.
Yeah.
Just with a toy, playing with the toy. But you put our youngest on the sofa, no. he'd be head over
climb
heels
off or somewhere,
straight on the
climbing
floor
up the wall. So yeah, it is. I think your relationship does change massively, but... We've said about all these negative things, but your relationship also changes to something so wonderful when you have children as well. You know, you have this connection. And I look at our two boys, and it's so funny because you can just see parts of them that are you and parts of them that are me. And that just blows my mind that we were able to create these two perfect little human beings from the two of us.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it builds a relationship. As much as it is hard and it tests a relationship, if you can stay communicating and if you can stay strong, yes, it will be hard at times, your relationship will come out stronger at the other end.
They're the good days. There's the days out that go without a hitch, without the tantrum or the paddy. And you know, we've had one today and it's been really nice.
Yeah, there will always be the bad days, but I think... For us, the good days outweigh the bad days. And I think part of that is down to the way that we communicate with things, you know. So if one of us is having a hard day, I mean, I said to you a couple of days ago, didn't I? You was going to work, I come downstairs and I said, I'm not having a good day today. And this was like 8 o'clock in the morning. You kind of looked at me like, why? And I just said, mentally, I'm just not feeling good today. I'm feeling really worried. I'm feeling really anxious. There was no real reason to it. But by me just saying that to you, you then knew, okay, maybe she needs just a little bit more support from me today. And I think that day you actually sent me a couple more text messages. You know, you were just a bit more present, even though you weren't at home. And that's why communication is so important. Because if I didn't tell you that, you wouldn't have spoken to me all day. I probably would have then got really annoyed in my head, like, why hasn't he checked on us? Why doesn't he know if we're okay or not? And then you would have come home, I would have been in a mood with you, and it would have just snowballed. So something that's so easy to do is just communicate. And yes, you might feel stupid saying, I feel really down in the dumpster and I don't know why, but I'm pleased that I said that to you, because then you kind of knew where I was.
Yeah, and as much as there was I wasn't as home as early as I wanted to, I was able to still get home a bit earlier.
Yeah.
Knowing full well, you know, you get to a job and you go, I can wait for tomorrow.
Yeah, because you knew that I was going to struggle to do it all on my own all day long. So, yeah, I think as hard as it can be when your relationship, when you have a baby, your relationship does change, it's right. It's a fact, of course it's going to change. I think as long as you communicate with each other, and that comes for everything, communicating about the day-to-day stuff, but also communicating about the big stuff, like sex, like the way that you raise the children. I think as long as you're communicating, then you will be fine. Because if you both understand where the other one is, you're going to get through it. You're going to muddle through this whole raising children malarkey like we try and do. But I really hope you enjoyed this podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure you tune in again to our next episode, where I will be back with Jenny and Sarah. Thank you so much for coming on with me, husband. It's been lovely to have you on.
Thank you for having me here.
And I hope to speak to you all soon. Thanks for listening. Bye.